The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
It is a felony crime in my home state of Iowa to disarm a police officer. Wait. We hired these people. We pay their salary. We gave them that badge. We bought them the gun. And then for us to take it back away from them, from a great American to take it away from them, is a felony crime, a life-ending crime. Even though they got their SWAT team creeping all around my property that my great-grandfather built in the middle of the night and won't even show the warrant. Just another reason that I don't live there, and I'm broadcasting to you from cartel country, from the Badlands beyond the Rio Grande. This is Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. I am your host, Samuel Honnold. We are broadcasting tonight on reserve power, auxiliary power, life support power, and in a total signals blackout. No cell service, no internet service. Who is it that said the revolution will not be televised? I sure appreciate you tuning in and joining me, being my fellow soldiers, standing with the few patriots left that love our countries, that love our God. Let's look into the Word of God tonight, and let's listen to some classics of soldiers rock and roll. Here's Sting and the Police.
All of a sudden, China was all over the place. Just me and my sidearm. And I had no other alternative. Blast my way out. Die, pig, die! You'll never take Major Vincent Winner for pain alive! Bam! I saw what you did to my friends! Bam!
Major! Bam! Major! Major!
Bam!
President Bolsonaro, do not hand over the presidential sash to Lula da Silva, the criminal. If you hand over the sash, you may as well hand over your wife also, Mrs. Bolsonaro, who will be a slave in the new kingdom. You may as well hand over your children, against whom there has already begun legal process to the end of incarceration. Yes, you may as well hand over the hands to be shackled of your entire kingdom, of your entire nation, if you give the sash to him. But there's something more to say. Hear the word of the Lord. This is your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, 2 Samuel 18:3. I'm Pastor Sam. Starting in verse 2, David is going out to battle and he says, I will surely go forth with you myself also, that he would lead the armies on the battlefield, in addition to the captains that he had appointed. But the people answered, verse 3, Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither, if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succour us, help us, out of the city. The instruction of the people of Israel, as the instruction of the people of Brazil today to their president, is that their leader would abide in the stronghold, that he would enter into a military fortification, and that he would lead the battle from within a safe place, because he was worth 10,000 of the people who were so willing to lose their lives in battle rather than be chained by their enemies and enslaved. Donald Trump made a point not to attend the inauguration of Joe Biden, as Bolsonaro has stated that he would not hand over the sash. Nevertheless, that step alone was not sufficient. He should have gone directly to NORAD, gone directly to Cheyenne Mountain, gone under Mount Weather into the military fortification and ran the counter-assault against the illegal government takeover by these globalists and their communist stooges. This is what President Bolsonaro must do, and the hopes of the entire free world are upon it. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. President Bolsonaro, remain in the stronghold. Let the people of Brazil and let Brazil's mighty military resolve this situation. And do you think that the wood will not help you? That the Amazon itself, the earth itself, will not swallow up the flood out of the dragon's mouth? For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. So the king did something that was very difficult for him, being a tough infantry captain. He stayed in the war room. He stayed in the stronghold. He stayed in the situation room, watching on the big screen as the battle unfolded and waiting for tidings. And what happened? Here comes the fake news to misinform him. It's not just a recent development. Here we see fake news in the Bible. Joab, a mighty warrior, but also a traitor who had his own advancement and his personal objectives in mind on this day, as on other days in command of the army, and he sent a fake newscaster to run. Men had to run and bring tidings to the king in the walled city, and he chooses Cushi to do it. This is an ignoble name. Cush was the son of Ham, we see in Genesis. This is 10:6. And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim, who dammed in the Nile and created Egypt as an arable nation in the Nile Delta, whereupon empires could be built. Verse 8 tells us, and Cush begat Nimrod. Da-da-dum. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. So this is the dawn of evil anti-heroes in the Bible. And this is the namesake of the fake newscaster that Joab the traitor sends to deceive David and to cover up his own crime. Who wanted to run and bring tidings? Who said, let me go, like Pastor Sam, to tell the king the good news? Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. 2 Samuel 18:19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day, but this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Yeah, because Joab himself had murdered the king's son by thrusting three javelins through his heart. 22, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? He said, you can't even cast the news. You're not even a newscaster. You got nothing to say. Nevertheless, the son of Zadok overruns Cushi, outruns him, and brings the counsel of God to the king. Behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. This is what we're doing here on Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, bringing the counsel of God to the king in the stronghold. And the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. Verse 25. Oh, we are alone in cartel country, but we have the armies of God on our side, and we will overcome. No nos vamos a rendirnos.
Yeah.
That was Sting and the Police, I believe, from Ghost in the Machine. Some mighty fine rock and roll about soldiering, the soldier's life, how confusing it can be sometimes, and hoping that you're on the side of right, and wishing for a brighter tomorrow where people actually live in peace. I hope you don't mind setting the tone with a little bit of mood music. We've got some very serious things to discuss tonight, and so I'm going to put a little bit more good rock and roll. Dire Straits coming up, by the way, famous Knopfler on the guitar, Right Across the River from his album Brothers in Arms. As a young fella, just a kid when this came out on cassette tape, as well as on CD format, it was really the first album that was put out on CD. That's why there's so much variation in the levels on the Brothers in Arms disc, because they were really pushing the envelope of what was at that time the all-new digital platform. But the music itself, for me, I was just learning. This opened my eyes that Vietnam was not that long ago, and that a lot of guys that had been there and seen horrible things, they were only 10, 12, 14 years down the road from that, and a lot of them had not even begun to face the trauma of the experience and the madness of that war zone, perhaps a greater madness than any war in modern times. The weed smoke everywhere, the psychedelics, the CIA dealing smack out of the Asian Golden Triangle, as now they do from the Americas in our own Golden Triangles. Air America was in full swing, and everybody had to come up with their own retirement racket, and it made that war zone just absolutely filled with madness beyond belief. So there was a lot of trauma to process, and a lot of guys did not begin that process until deep into the 80s, and that's when these songs came out. So the Police and Dire Straits are bands that really spoke to soldiers and to ex-soldiers, and a very large issue that they were trying to process through was, were we on the side of right? Were we the good guys or the bad guys? Because it was a war zone with so much madness. And people walk away from an experience like that, it's very easy to be embraced into, to fall into the arms of the pacifist gospel, that when war breaks out, it's always a mess, and there's always deception on all corners and injustice on all sides. And so that is the siren song of the pacifist gospel. The fact is, we've got more rampant crime and more ever-present injustice under peaceful times than has ever been, I believe, in a war zone. And we need to not let the pedophiles be in charge one more day, not one more year, not one more administration where they pack the courts with their lackeys, a lot of whom aren't even in law, aren't even in judges, aren't even upstanding citizens. Today I have this and other very important moral lessons from the Bible and from the Bible doctrines of our Puritan and revolutionary forefathers, and I'm going to lay that out for you, even if I continue on a signals blackout. My cell service and internet service has been mostly dead since the fireworks went off, so we may just speak from the darkness out into the blackout. Nevertheless, there will be very important moral lessons tonight after a little bit more really good rock and roll. Here is Mark Knopfler, a mighty man and a macho man who brought back rock and roll from the clutches of girly man Michael Jackson and the pop of Cyndi Lauper and Madonna. Knopfler came right out with Brothers in Arms, and here is one of the great tracks from it, Right Across the River. Talking, of course, about dying.
It is normal, and the cause it is just. We are ready to pay with our lives if we must. Gonna ride across the river, deep and wide. Ride across the river to the other side.
Across the river to the other side, yeah, yeah.
in his chest cavity explode. Boom!
You know, that was the first time I ever drove a man nose up into his brain, causing instant death and simultaneous bowel evacuation. But enough about me, woman. What's your story?
Ha ha, that is Damon Wayans portraying the role of Major Benson Winifred Payne III. I'm going to actually play it for you again. He plays a war hero who's maybe gotten a little bit too used to being on the battlefield and has a hard time relating to people in a civil way. But for those of us that are the other way around and that have spent too long in civility and we cannot go to 100 miles an hour anymore, that's where we look back at these characters. So he's telling his new girlfriend about the first time that he killed a man, that he pushed his nose into his brain, causing instant death and simultaneous bowel evacuation. Yes, it's true. People do often defecate when they die. So I'm going to play it for you one more time. Here we go.
You know, that was the first time I ever drove a man nose up into his brain, causing instant death and simultaneous bowel evacuation.
Ha ha, or as Major Payne would say, he. See, he's forgotten even how to really laugh. And I don't mean to be macabre, but I'm very concerned that the adversary is already on top of you and your nation, and so many nations in the Americas have already been overrun. And if you do not clear out your carburetor where you can activate and go directly to 100 miles an hour, as Cristiano Pirano says, if you cannot go into combat battle mode, then you will hesitate and the enemy will destroy you. He'll overrun you, take your women, destroy your nation. It's already happened several times under our watch, under our nose, right here in the Americas. Death itself is not a joke. Just this week, Pelé died, the greatest ever on the football field, soccer player, and a national treasure of Brazil, a great success story of an Afro-Brazilian, of an Afro-American who went all the way, who won the World Cup 3 times, and we lost him this week. We bid him farewell. As Knopfler says on the title track of Brothers in Arms, we bid you farewell. Every man has to die. But while we're talking about Pelé and how he will be missed, I would be remiss if I did not state that I'm disappointed that in his later years his legacy was hijacked by the United Nations and UNICEF and UNESCO and all these globalist organizations, just like great bands from the 80s and 90s, the band Europe singing the Final Countdown, or Salt and Pepper. These are bands that scrapped their way up from the bottom before there was a greased chute to success through Nickelodeon or Disney. These bands worked their way up from the bottom, and then as they're all washed up and they've spent all their money and they're out of the limelight, then some insurance company just throws them $1 million to come out of retirement, get in shape, and do one song and use their title song that made them all famous for a commercial. Denizens of the Americas, and especially Brazilians, I hope that you are a little bit incensed that the globalists did that to your hero, Pelé. And these are the reasons that war is coming on the earth, coming to the Americas, and coming to your nation, because there is a nest of iniquity that needs to be cleaned out, a nest of evilness. Our generation must now be tried and tested in the crucible, and much dross will be burned away, but we have an opportunity for a brighter tomorrow. Just as sure as the song says, as the day follows the night, the day will follow this night, but let's charge into the night strong and ready to turn the battle at the gate, ready to set righteous judges that will execute judgment. One more verse before the bottom of the hour. Let's go. The Lord will help you to turn back the battle, turn back the invaders at the gate, at the last moment. If you look to Him, and we have this beautiful promise in the Bible, this is your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Isaiah 28, 5 and 6. But before it talks about the redemption, there is judgment from God that comes on the nation. And this is really talking about neoliberalism and imperialism. It's talking about corruption and in the classic sense, in the United Fruit Company Banana Republic sense, which we know Americans were the ones behind that. So let's read this, and remember that when you see Edom, that is the Lord's people that are backslidden and departed from Him, and an evil heart of unbelief has come up in them and their society, and the seats of their judgment. And when you see Ephraim, that is 100% the United States reading this in modern times. So let's look at this. 28:1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. Isn't this the United States today? Oh, the glorious beauty is there, but it is a fading flower. Then, boom, it goes right back to their drunkenness, to them being overcome with wine. And what's next? The crown of their pride. Oh, the Lord has a mighty and strong one. The Lord raises up an adversary. He'll use the Chaldeans. He'll use the Babylonians. He'll use the Syrians. He can do that. And then later, those heathen armies are dealt with for touching His holy people and the holy places where their foot has trodden. Here in verse 3, it talks about that treading. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. And the glorious beauty, which is on the head of the fat valley, shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer. Yes, just like a ripe cherry early on the tree, the devourer comes and doesn't even put it in a basket. He just pops it in his mouth. All right, so let's get to the good news, where the Lord turns the battle at the gate, and I'll just read you your verse of the day, verses 5 and 6. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of His people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gates. Wow, there are actually righteous judges, and the Lord will give them a spirit of judgment, not these leftist libtards of today. Listen, I know it is not an easy thing to decide to take up the sword, to bet your life, to never look back. But if we do it, these are the promises. The residue of His people will turn the battle at the gate. The Lord will be strength to them and give righteous judgment to our judges. Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen, willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad, pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. You're listening to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers on WBCQ 7.490 and WRMI 9955. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" in 1 Corinthians 9:7. The apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world, or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something. Someday very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans Preferred.
Let me tell you all something. War has made me very paranoid. And when a man gets the eyeball at me and make my Agent Orange act up, and I get the urge to kill, you understand me?
Sir, sure, yes, sir!
Do you all understand me?
Sir, sure, yes, sir!
I can't hear you!
Sir, sure, yes, sir!
And what is your damaged muscle head?
We gotta tell a few jokes to break up the ominous news on an ominous day, and it's only gonna get more ominous as the show goes on. Please stay till the very end, because I'm gonna cover some things. It's not new news, it's old news, but it's banned news. It is things that have been pushed under the rug because they are so controversial. Because of that, by the way, this show is in great danger. I put the call out last week that I really need your financial support. The fact is, I publish all the nodes that I get financial support from, and I really believe the Alphabet Soup has gone after those, because even my longtime supporters that have stood with me for some time, they've all dried up on the vine. My Brook Cherith has dried up, and I'm left out here in cartel country with no means of support. This bears all the markings of a COINTELPRO operation. It bears all the markings of the FBI, and they're really not happy that I'm bringing these things to you. So I feel a little like Major Payne. War has made me very paranoid, and when I feel people plotting, when I feel them eyeballing me, my Agent Orange, he says, my Agent Orange starts acting up and it gives me the urge. Well, you heard what the Major said. Okay, ominous news. I'm not really happy about this. Juan Guaido has been voted out of the interim presidency of Venezuela. So this is the news out of Colombia reported by Reuters. 3 out of the 4 opposition parties of the Venezuelan government in exile voted to move him out and to start over. This is a real fracturing of the opposition government. But my goodness, he held on from 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, and here in January of 2023, he is ousted. It's amazing how long he held out and stood up without support. For a long time, he was running through the jungle. I'm going to play CCR's Run Through the Jungle here shortly. It's coming. We're going to get some old rock and roll, some Fogerty from the 1960s, some real Vietnam-era Huey Chopper rock and roll. Yeah, Run Through the Jungle. Well, Juan Guaido ran through the jungle. He's trying to lead the opposition government, and he had to hide out and move in and out of Venezuela. He had to flee the country. Neighboring Colombia has been, until Gustavo Petro, totally a neoliberal government, and backed by the U.S. and, you know, the bankster that was the president before. I felt like Juan Guaido did a great job, not only his runs through the jungle, but him flirting with the neoliberalists like John Bolton, the State Department government that's so entrenched in Colombia. And he had to walk a very delicate line. He had to really tiptoe to solicit United States support without letting those neoliberal globalists rebuild Venezuela in their image into a permanent failed state. His first lady represented him on his first trip to Washington. I used to have the photo for a screensaver on my phone of the Oval Office with Donald Trump, and traitor Mike Pence was there. He was still on the wagon at the time with Mrs. Guaido, First Lady Guaido. It's Fabiana, or is it Fabiola? No disrespect if I missed that. I really appreciated her. She was such a beautiful first lady. She was 26 years old and had a little bitty baby. As far as a first family, they were right there with Nayib Bukele as being one of the coolest, youngest, most vibrant, conservative first families in all of the world, all the Americas and all of the world. And I really liked them. And she had to go to the White House because Juan Guaido was deep in the jungle, hiding and running for his life. Finally, Trump gave the State of the Union address, his final one before leaving office, I do believe. and Donald Trump in the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C., joint session of Congress with all the Supreme Court justices and both houses of our bicameral legislature packed in, and Trump waves out his hand and recognizes Juan Guaido, the interim president of Venezuela, who was in the galleries. So this was the clearest show of support that Trump gave, that he was on board for a Venezuelan intervention if it could be done without open war with China and or Russia. Friends, do you know the prayer and the intercession that led up to that moment that caused those pivotal events to manifest? And then finally, there it is, Juan Guaido is honored. The Venezuelan expat community in Miami went absolutely crazy. There was hope of a free America, and then all support is withdrawn. And the Venezuelan independence movement and the government in exile, which was so vibrant, it was a juicy grape in its day, just ready. And then when left to itself, the winter has come and it has died on the vine. And I'm really sad about it. I hope that this broadcast does not die on the vine, but I really believe that all of my donation apparatuses have been interfered with, including the United States mail. I have not gotten a piece of mail other than a bank statement or a bill in over 2 months. This is the same thing that the Liberal Post Office did to John Hagee, only now it's more technologically advanced and can be done without notice and without publicity. So listen, if you'd like to help this show stay on the air, you can go to WRMI.net. They have a PayPal button. They have their mailing address right there. You can go to WBCQ.com. Same thing. You can make a donation directly there. You can send mail directly to the station and just put in Living by the Sword airtime, Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, anything like that, and it will go to my account to help to keep us on the air. But just like Juan Guaido, we have been hung out to dry. So that's a way that you can make a big difference if you don't have the means or availability to come visit me in Mexico, which, of course, you're invited to do. President Guaido, have you thought about going into journalism? Come to Mexico. Primera Dama, Señora de Guaido, ven a México. Te invito. Ayúdanos acá. Estamos reconstruyendo periodismo libre de exilio acá. Ven, ven, acompáñame. Les espero. All right, after so much commentary last week about Steve McQueen and his famous show Wanted Dead or Alive from the 1950s, where he was a bounty hunter running cartel country, Johnny Rowland and I had a blast last week talking about that. And you know those are Johnny Rowland's 460 Rowland gunshots on all of my Bible verses. Well, now we're going to play the predecessor from way back in the day, Steve McQueen. So you can tell this is dated. It's from the 1950s. But I'm going to go ahead and play you his intro once or twice where you can hear his gunshots. And then Fogarty's going to take us on our run through the jungle. Merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Yes, this type of oppression that's happening right now, the overrunning of our nations, is not new. The Lord's King dealt with it in the Bible. David continues, mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. He was outnumbered. Might was on the side of the wicked who enjoyed numerical superiority. Verse 3, what time I am afraid I will trust in thee. Something very interesting here as the Lord, as David cries out to the Lord, he says in verse 4, I will praise his word. He knew somehow that the word of God was alive, even as he was penning it, even as the word of prophecy and the authorship of books of the Bible were on David's tongue. He knew that the word was alive. And three times in this psalm he says, I will praise thy word, as if the word is a person. Of course, we know that the Lord Jesus is the word, that in the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then Apostle John writes, we beheld his glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father. So we see David say this again in verse 10. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. You, when you're oppressed, trust in the Lord. You, when you demonstrate, and when you let your voice be heard, and when you are in prayer that God would turn your nation around and not let it be overrun and flood with the flood of communism and persecution and globalism. When you pray that, I want you to hear what David says. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Every day that you are in the streets wearing yellow and green, every day you go out to protest, every day that you call on God to save your nation, he has kept your tears in a bottle. He has written them in his book as you have stood in intercession. And even though you're up against the nanny state and the powerful surveillance state, David says right here that they were tracking him. In verse 6, he says, they mark my steps. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. And God will cast down the wicked by his anger. Let us pray. Let us intercede. Let us shed tears to be stored up in his bottle and written in his book, that perhaps the Lord will hear us and turn our nations around. And right here it is promised in verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. David ends the psalm in the light of the living. He intends to survive.
Always have some. righteous King Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. I'm Pastor Sam, and this is your Gospel Gunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, 2 Chronicles 18:31. So in this story, you have two kings. You have this idiot, unrighteous, idolatrous king that married the daughter of Ethbaal the Sidonian. That's Ahab. And then you have the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. And the two of them got together, and they really wanted to go up into battle. Ahab wanted him to go up into battle so that he could accomplish some things and take some cities back. But the Lord intended this to split between the two. And this is why in the Americas especially, but also in Europe, we have a history of dueling. We have a history of going into single combat, many times even by invitation and by choice, by throwing down the gauntlet and issuing a challenge, or by entering into a contest of caballeros and a joust. But the duel itself is really established itself in America, where people have a right and a choice to go forth and to demand that their enemy face them in battle so that God can decide which is the better man. But long before there was a history of dueling, God has done this in the crucible of Mortal Kombat. In Mortal Kombat, the dross is burned up and the silver is tried 7 times and purified by fire. And it's time for our generation to have that testing. So please look at this. The two of them sat in a void place and all the prophets prophesied. So this is all the wicked prophets, all the prophets of Baal that Ahab and Jezebel kept around. You need to read it for yourself, but it's really amazing how Jehoshaphat demands that the one prophet of the Lord that's still left be brought forth. And what does he prophesy? Verse 16, then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. So this prophet of God prophesies that Ahab would die in battle. And then it's very interesting how this plays out. Please look at it and study and read the whole chapter. But Ahab disguises himself. Jehoshaphat wears his royal robes. Well, then Jehoshaphat comes under attack in the army. And this is what happens. Verse 31. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots, the enemies, saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it is the king of Israel, which he was not. He was the king of Judah. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. I am a fliegendes Stachelschwein. I am a hard-knock flyer, and a rainbow rider, and a straight-shooting son of a gun. How do you think we're going to make it out of this? How do you think we've made it this far? And it's not just the psychedelic rock of the 60s, guys. Cass sings the same thing. Buscamos el arco iris. Hay colores que nunca hemos visto. There are places. There are glories in God. There's God's secret wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2, that he's destined for our glory, the glory of our final generation, before the world began. Sting says, I don't want to spend my life in hell, staring at the walls of a prison cell. No. Death or glory, it's a killing game. And out there are powerful voices saying 2023 is the year. Here Dmitry Medvedev, the former president of Russia and the Secretary of State today, says that civil war will break out. California and Texas becoming independent states as a result. Then he says something that you've only heard from Pastor Sam on Dave Hodges' Common Sense Show and here on Living by the Sword. Texas and Mexico will form an allied state. I really hope to do an entire show on that. It'll probably be on thecommonsenseshow.tv. But we fully expect that if the traitors like Texas Governor Greg Abbott can be stopped, we expect Texas independence and for Texas to become a great republic once again, and a fortress of freedom and American values. I want to share with you one final news item. As I'm broadcasting here out of the blackout, my signals are off, my internet is down, I have no cell signal. And so I'm going to tell you a story. It happened in the 90s, but this is probably the most important news article that you've never heard about. The name of the man was James R. Johnson. He was a Vietnam veteran, and they made him out to be this elite soldier and this sniper. The fact is, he was a pretty regular guy, and he was a little bit old. But he crossed the point of no return with the prison planet when he attempted to throw out of his house his 19-year-old grown woman stepdaughter. And all of a sudden, he crosses the line. He threatened her with a gun. And I want you to ask yourself one question about this. Did he do something that was morally wrong, exerting his authority over his own house, expecting to be in charge and not to be a keeper for this disobedient stepdaughter? Was God mad at him for anything that he did? Well, the police show up, because that's what they do, is make sure every man is kept subject and that he just keeps cranking the crank and making a way for all the disobedient of the earth. Well, the responding officer was killed by Johnson. Now he's really crossed the point of no return. Just like the banksters need a global war to cover up their crimes and to cancel out all the debt from their rampant money printing, sometimes a patriot needs a global war and a major political change to have any chance of living peacefully on the other side. So what did James Johnson do? Once he knew he was across the line, he drove down to the sheriff's house. Now, the sheriff wasn't there, but his wife was running a Bible study, believe it or not, with 200 people in her home. So not only did they control politics and law enforcement, this family also controlled the church world in that city. Isn't that how it always works? The sheriff not being present then, James Johnson took the target of opportunity, as any good sniper would, and took out the sheriff's wife, right through the plate glass window, right in front of her house guests. This was rapidly becoming a major manhunt in Missouri, and from all different jurisdictions, over 200 officers converged on this small Missouri town looking for Johnson. He was found outside the jail where he was lying in wait and killed the sheriff of the neighboring county. This is one man, an old man, not highly trained, and with the weakest of weapons, a .22 long rifle squirrel gun. In prison, on death row before he was executed, Johnson finally converted back to the pacifist gospel and was very sorry for his actions. Even though he was the one cornered, he was the one provoked, and all he did was lash out against the prison planet. But you've never heard of James Johnson's exploits, and you've never heard how he punched above his weight and counted coup against a vastly superior enemy, because the media did the rest of the job, because the news media covered up this story, buried this story, just like they're burying your exploits today with a media blackout over South America and a cell blackout over the cartel country, even of Mexico. God willing, I'll see you next week. Until then, you keep on living by the sword.
Amigo, amigo guerrero, te digo, somos marineros. El barco juntos sacaremos. En sueño, despierta contento. Amigo, no tengas más miedo. Sabemos que hay un camino que juntos la luz toparemos, que el viento nos lleve corriendo. Amigo, amigo guerrero, te abrazo, siento tu consuelo. En busca del arco iris, me tomas la mano y me muestras que existe un camino divino, que existe un destino, que hay otro sitio donde todo es pinto, que existen colores que nunca hemos visto, que hay corazones que crecen distinto. Oh, oh, somos aire limpio. Oh, 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 oh. tengas más miedo, que juntos la luz toparemos. Amigo, amigo guerrero, te abrazo, siento tu consuelo. En busca del arco iris, me tomas la mano y me muestras que existe un camino divino, que existe un destino, que hay otro sitio donde todo es pinto, que existen colores que nunca hemos visto, que hay corazones que crecen distinto. Somos aire limpio.
Circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.